Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
It is the Sunday Spin, but no Rick Pearson today. Hopefully he is still dreaming of whatever wonderful things he hopes are in store for 2017. I am Amanda Vinicky, filling in this morning on the Sunday Spin. And our first guest this morning is David Smith. He is head of the Illinois Family Institute. It is a religious organization that tries to bring Christianity to public policy and often has a tough fight ahead for trying to accomplish its mission in Springfield, hoping to talk about that this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Amanda. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. How'd you celebrate?
Well, we just watched the game last night and basically went to bed early.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, so allowing you to be nice and fresh and able to give me a call, which I, of course, appreciate. As I noted, wanted to talk some about the legislative agenda that the Illinois Family Institute has for the coming year. We will have a lame duck session, but then right away, the new General Assembly, the 100th, I believe it actually is.
It is.
Will be inaugurated and getting things rolling. So there are several various issues that I think you're probably already concerned about, but let me give you the floor for starters and speak to what is of primary importance to you.
Sure. Well, front and center is a bill by Representative Sarah Feigenholz. She says that she's not going to call it during the lame duck session, next week, but she is going to reintroduce it next year, and that is a bill to require taxpayer funding of abortion in Illinois. That would be Medicaid recipients, as well as including this provision in health care plans for government employees, state government employees. And our estimates are that this would increase abortion numbers in Illinois by 15,000. So taxpayers would be paying for an additional 15,000 abortions every year with the passage of Representative Feigenholz's bill. And we're already doing over 40,000 abortions in Illinois. So this concerns us greatly. We want to reduce the number of abortions. Actually, our organization wants to eliminate abortion. We don't want to expand it.
You know, what about the argument that this is kind of, in a sense, discriminatory toward low-income people who are on Medicaid, that those who have, you know, full-time work and insurance coverage have the choice to make if they want to receive an abortion or not, and then those who are on Medicaid are left without an option when they may, in fact, be able to afford a child and raising a young one?
Sure. The state offers a lot of help. There's a lot of Christian organizations out there as well who offer help, not just through the pregnancy, but through the whole term of raising a child. There's a lot of crisis pregnancy centers throughout the state of Illinois. But when we talk about discrimination, what's often lost in the debate is that this human life doesn't have a right to life. This is a human being with a heartbeat that starts very early. You know, Governor Kasich recently vetoed the heartbeat bill out in Ohio. You know, we'd love to have the debate here in Illinois about when the heartbeat starts and when it's detectable. You know, this is a human being with its own DNA, with its own blood type, and we're discriminating against this young child, unborn child's life, right to life.
You know, I think a lot of times people simplify this to an argument that pits Democrats versus Republicans when really very little in Illinois is partisan in that line. Clearly, there's plenty that is partisan, as we've seen, sure, as this budget battle prolongs and continues. But nonetheless, there are often regional elements at play. So what are your, predictions for the chances that this legislation will have a chance?
Well, okay, so it's very close. We know that the Democrats have a majority in Springfield. With the recent election, the Republicans picked up 4 seats in the House, right? So we only picked up as a pro-lifers one net gain. Because
you do surveys that ask legislative candidates their feelings on issues like abortion.
Well, yes, and it's also based on our years down in Springfield lobbying. Mm-hmm. You know, we know, for example, John Bradley or Kate Cloonan from Kankakee, you know, they were Democrats who were pro-life. We could count on them voting for pro-life. And they were defeated. Now, they were defeated by pro-life Republicans, so it's a wash as far as the vote goes. So it's really nip and tuck, and it's going to be, you know, they need 60 votes to pass the bill. They may be able to do it. You know, we've seen Michael Madigan get involved before and twist arms. If he does, the chances of it passing is very likely. If he doesn't, we have a chance of defeating it.
And is it just this argument, or it's my understanding that there's also talk about a so-called trigger law that would basically legislation that would say even if Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortions would be legal in the state of Illinois, and advocates say that that's a way to ensure that when women who will inevitably choose to have that procedure make that choice, that they'll be safe versus having to travel far or perhaps have an illegal abortion somewhere that is doesn't have to follow and doesn't follow health code, puts them in danger as well as the baby.
Yeah, Sarah Feigenholtz wants to introduce a piece of legislation next year as well that would overturn a 1975 law that basically says that the unborn child is a human being from conception, and a legal person for the purpose of the unborn child's right to life and is entitled to the right for life. I'm reading right from the law here. So some experts say if Roe v. Wade were overturned, that this would go into effect. Others say it wouldn't. So, I mean, it would probably end up at the courts anyway. But she wants to make a statement, and she says that clearly. She wants to make a statement in response to Donald Trump's election and, you know, possible appointment of pro-life judges to the Supreme Court. So we're looking at that as well, trying to defeat that kind of legislation as well.
Anything that you're advocating for, less of a defensive legislation and more a introduction?
Sure. Well, every year we get behind various bills. For example, the Ultrasound Opportunity Act. This is another pro-life piece of legislation that would require abortion doctors to offer a woman who's thinking about an abortion a ultrasound picture of her child. Just offer it. She doesn't have to say yes. She doesn't have to say no. If she says no, they go on to what they were going to do. If she says yes, the woman gets an ultrasound picture of that child. And why we're so in favor of this legislation is because when a woman sees an unborn picture of her unborn child, they are 80 to 90% more likely to choose life. They realize, and so this is a fully informed decision she's making. She gets to look at the picture. And no, it's not just a clump of cells. It is a fully human being. It's you know, got arms and legs and fingers and toes. And so we want to make sure women who are in that kind of a situation are fully informed about the decision they're making. We want to help them avoid years of emotional, physical, and even spiritual consequences of making a decision for abortion.
Which, of course, others debatable in terms of what that choice may mean for any particular woman. This is something, this ultrasound act that you have advocated for previously, but has not met success before the Illinois General Assembly. Am I correct?
Right. Unfortunately, it gets introduced, but it doesn't even get a hearing because, quite frankly, Michael Madigan decides what bills get hearings and what don't. So.
And with that, we're going to have to take a break. We'll be back to talk more. That's David Smith of the Illinois Family Institute. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Here's Don Norton.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
And R.I.P. George Michael. Getting a lot of song selections there for paying homage to 2016. Going forward here, I am Amanda Vinicky. This is the Sunday Spin on WGN. I'm joined this half hour by David Smith. He is head of the Illinois Family Institute, and we're talking about his organization's legislative agenda as the General Assembly is going to get cracking shortly in this new year. Once again, David, thanks so much for joining me bright and early. Talking about abortion laws, and there it was one that does concern abortion doctors and such that has actually been signed into law by Governor Bruce Rauner, but is before a court. And this is something called the Right of Conscience Act. And basically, this is something that Illinois has long had on the books in terms of if you have a patient that wants a procedure such as an abortion and his or her doctor, because, again, it's not just abortions, is against that for religious reasons or what have you, they need to make a sort of they need to make a referral. They need to not give care. But this law now says that a doctor has to actually give not a specific referral. It has to tell a patient these are the options for the specific places, another doctor, another hospital where you can go. What's wrong with that?
Oh, well, no American, Amanda, should be forced by their government to violate their conscience, whether it's in speaking or giving a piece of paper to refer them. No American should be forced to violate their conscience. And that's what we object to. These doctors, these nurses, and I would even tell you this extends to, and that's why it's in court in Rockford, to crisis pregnancy centers, where these places have been set up intentionally to try to save children from abortion. Now, if a woman comes in and gets an ultrasound at this clinic, at this free clinic, this crisis pregnancy center, and finds out that she's 8 weeks along and panics and says, oh, no, I've got to go get an abortion, they're going to be compelled, these pro-life workers who are trying to save lives, they're going to be compelled by law to tell her where to go to get her abortion. And that's just wrong on so many levels. We actually sent a letter to Governor Rauner asking him to veto this. It was signed by over 450 pastors. And so we're extremely disappointed with him passing this legislation, which forces, it coerces speech.
You know, but yet others would say if you are a doctor, it is a physician's duty to do whatever is a medical request or is medically best for a patient. And I believe
patient?
I see what you're saying. So because a lot of legislators heard testimony from a woman that said that she, you know, had a really horrible circumstance and had she only known or been given a proper referral, she believes she would have no longer had to go through a lot of pain and suffering for a child that I believe she ended up losing, and that was known by the doctor and instead had to suffer through.
I'm not going to deny that there aren't hard situations. But, Amanda, the vast majority of pro-life doctors are not willing to allow a woman who's in a very serious situation to go through that or suffer or even die. They're going to do what they want. They have to do to save that life, and if they can, save the unborn child's life as well. So I think it's a disingenuous argument. I don't think it's real. I know, like I said, there are hard cases, but we don't base our policies on hard cases. We shouldn't, at least.
So you're part of this effort to fight and overturn the law in court. With what constitutional principles are you fighting there?
Well, the right to the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. The First Amendment guarantees the free exercise of religion, and that includes living out your faith. So, you know, a Jewish deli owner shouldn't be forced to serve pork. You know, a bed and breakfast owner shouldn't have to cater to a same-sex marriage. You know, these are things, and of course, doctors, pro-life doctors, shouldn't have to tell a woman where she can go to kill her unborn child.
The bed and breakfast example that you just cited is one that, in fact, your organization has been also lost before. What was it? Before the State Human Rights Commission that ruled that, in fact, a gay couple that had sought to have a wedding ceremony it was a civil union, because it was before actually Illinois' gay marriage law had taken effect.
So this case is affecting a gentleman in Paxton, Illinois. He was approached by two gay men who wanted to do a civil union ceremony, and he said, "Look, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in anything outside of marriage by one man, one woman. You're going to have to find a different location." So they filed a complaint with the Human Rights Commission, and they ruled against him, a three-judge panel, and then the full en banc ruled against him, and now it's going to be appealed to a state court. But here again, we have a situation. And one of the things I want to make sure the listeners, your listeners, know that this is not just, hey, I'm against gay people. If this was a birthday party for one of the gay men who wanted to come, I can almost assure you that he would have said, fine. I mean, it's the same situation in Washington State where a woman who owns a florist company, Barnell Stutzman, served a gay man for years flowers, and when he came in and said, "We're going to get married, I need you to serve our flowers for our wedding," she said, "Well, look, I'm a Christian. I can't serve a wedding. I can't do your wedding because that violates my conscience. It's the wedding, not you as a person." So it's celebrating something that we find immoral or wrong, violates our conscience. That is what the complaint really is, bottom line.
I mean, it's not, however, like the florist or the B&B owner was being asked to perform the ceremony, to be, you know, a pastor that was overseeing it. So what do you say to those who say, you know, like, this is hate? They feel like this is hate speech. What is your response to that? That the couple that says, "We were turned away, it was painful." Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not hate speech. It's living to your standards. Every American should be able to live to the dictates of their faith. They shouldn't be coerced into living by somebody else's faith. And that's what is going on here. The state is coming in, coercing, and saying, no, you will agree with us. You will celebrate things that you find immoral. And that's the bottom line. No, they weren't doing the marriage, but they were celebrating the marriage. Their facility was going to be used to celebrate the marriage. And so I hope your listeners understand that distinction.
And what is next for that? Is this over and done again? You lost, and it was taken to court as well. And I believe I forget what level that was at, but
it was just the Human Rights Commission ruling just came down last month, and is going to be appealed to a state court now because the Human Rights Commission is a quasi-judicial format. So,
and then David, our time is winding down. Anything else that you want to make sure and get across again as we're just looking ahead to 2017, the big issues, if you could just give a real quick run through?
Well, there is another court case pending against House Bill 217. This bill was also signed into law by Governor Runner. This bill will ban or censor professional therapists from giving counsel to minor children who have unwanted same-sex attraction and gender identity disorder. And here again, we have government coming in saying, in this case, you will not say certain things to certain people, whereas with the Crisis Pregnancy Center, it's coming in and saying, you will say something to certain people. Amanda, if this is not the definition of tyranny, I don't know what is.
That is David Smith. He is head of the Illinois Family Institute, talking about the ban on gender conversion therapy, something that critics say is dangerous for children. With that, I've got to leave it. So thank you so much once again to David Smith, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate it.
Thank you. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN.